YKX monitoring.
Okay.
YKX W2T, good afternoon.
Hi. Is that Rusty? How are you doing today?
Contemplating getting up to go start lunch or supper, whichever it is.
At this point.
Same time that I usually eat lunch or supper or whatever and make it one meal so I don't have to eat anything else later, you know?
I finally hooked up my HF rig after about not having it for about 2 or 3 months and actually am able to hear things in places, and I decided I would actually get my HT out and find out if it still gets out.
The white noise on you, but other than that, it's perfectly readable, you know?
I'm on my back porch, and I don't know how sensitive the repeater is, but I'm sure that it actually gets to it. I don't know how clear.
Well, like I said, you're perfectly readable, Gary. It's just, you know, there's that little bit of white noise that you're going to have with most handy talkies unless you're sitting up right next to the tower, you know?
Well, even from my receive, that the trees that are full of leaves and everything around me is probably not helping any. But it's good to hear you, an old friend.
A while. Has been a while. Of course, I'm keeping busy with a lot of other things going on, too, between my barber shopping and church and everything else and all the event things I've gotten involved with. So, and I seem to work harder now than when I was actually working before I retired.
That one. But I'm back to doing some work in the clinic there in Greenville, and not in the private practice, but about 3 days a week over there. And it's been fun because it's working with the medical students and the residents and stuff like that. And I think, number one, you never stop learning. And to me, it's fascinating when new things come around the corner. And so you still keep on learning.
I'm doing that now with all the stuff I'm doing because we're learning more music. Of course, I now bring handbells in the church handbell choir, too. And we're going to be, we were supposed to start back up doing that tomorrow, but with half of our handbell choir not going to be able to be there tomorrow night, and the director, she couldn't sub for all four of them, so she decided to call it off till next week when everybody will be back. We got some people coming out of quarantine. We got a new person that's going to be out of town this week, so everything's doing. And of course, I've gotten really involved, a lot more involved with my barber shopping and doing a lot more with that, so at the district level, planning a convention and things like that coming up, you know?
Yep, I can picture that. Anyway, with the handbells, let me ask you, how many can you manage at one time? I mean, I'm talking about in your hand, not in front of you.
One in each hand, because I play the real big ones.
Understood. I used to be in handbells when I was in high school and did some as an adult, not any in the last probably 15 or 20 years. But some of these good handbell ringers can hold almost four and make it work. And doing things like Carol of the Bells and stuff like that, it is fascinating to watch hands twist, turn, and go in their circular motion, too.
Well, I learned, because of my the size of the bells I ring, I only have three that I have to keep up with because we don't have but a couple of octaves, 2.5 octaves is what we've got. And we've got 8 ringers, but we've got the lady that directs us. I've seen her have as many as 3 and 4 in each hand and be able to ring them and do it. She does a lot of our handbell director. She does a lot of performances at church in which she does all the ringing herself, and that's always interesting to watch.
Director was the one who could handle that many and put things down, and but there were several people who could do that. The big ones, you're right. You have to have quite a strength to manage them. One of the things I used to like is using felt hammers and plunking them and other things like that. There's so many sound effects you can get, even like a reverberation or when you swing them behind you and then back forward, the sounds that it makes are amazing.
Oh, yeah, we do all of that. I work with all of that. And I'm the only male in our group of ding-a-lings, as we call ourselves.
Yeah, I think that was kind of our name, too. And we're still, even 20 years later, known as veteran ring-a-ding-a-lings. So anyway, but that's fun. And I know you enjoy your barbershop. That, you used to enjoy that a lot. And so I'm glad you're doing that. Anyway, but I finally made it to the Shelby Ham Fest for about 3 hours on Saturday. That's the first time I've gone in about 5 years.
Well, I didn't make it up there. My plans had been to go, but when I woke up Saturday morning, I just was, I had not slept well Friday night. And when I woke up Saturday morning, I've been fighting all the problems. I lost my gallbladder back in October of last year, 1st of October, and it screwed up all of my diet, my system completely, you know. And my doctor told me, he says, oh, yeah, your body will be readjusting itself for at least the next 2 years. And I said, gee, thanks.
Get it there for a reason, generally you don't like to remove it unless it is the problem. Because it does modulate and moderate a bunch of stuff. There are some kids who will get what is called biliary dyskinesia that lasts maybe 6 or 8 weeks, where they have gallbladder-type symptoms. And even if you get a positive test, a certain percentage of those are going to resolve, and so you try to help them ride it out rather than remove it immediately, unless there is an infectious type thing going on, because some of them, not all of them needed to be removed.
Oh, yeah. Well, mine, at my age, of course, mine was a case of it needed to go. I was down in Florida visiting my sister the end of September last year, and about 2 days before I was scheduled to come head back home, I was sitting at her house, and I had just eaten one of those little bitty Reese's Mini Peanut Butter Cups, the little bitty ones, about 9:30, and by 10:30, quarter of 11, I was sitting there crying and hollering, and my sister called the ambulance, and they took me to the hospital, and they did an ultrasound on me and everything else, and the guy said, we're admitting you to the hospital. That was at 4 o'clock in the morning, and this afternoon we will be removing your gallbladder. And they got me there in time to do things and check it out and give me something to stop it, but mine was on the point of letting itself disintegrate, because it was full of gunk and stones and everything else.
Yeah, when it ruptures or gets what they call gangrenous, or if you get cholecystitis, which is where all of the ducts that deliver the bile to the bile duct and the gallbladder, if those get inflamed and infected, you are, way up the creek at that point, and can be sick as a dog with fever and sepsis and the whole business. So it sounded like that was a good and quick move on their part. But no, I understand what you're talking about with the kind of getting adjusted. And you change your lifestyle around some to kind of, if you know what your pattern is. But anyway, it's good to talk with you. I haven't talked with you in a long while, and I haven't really been on very much lately. I've been tied up with a lot of things. One of the things I wonder if you could do is talk with one of my grandsons who is sitting here with me.
Sure, I'd be glad to, Gary. Not a problem. I love to talk to the young folks and get them interested in this hobby.
Okay, he's about 10 years old. Name is Eugene, and he's quite a man already. He wanted to be a lumberjack, a fireman, and now an airline pilot. So anyway, third-party traffic here to, this is KF4YKX.
The fellow name is Eugene, and do you go by Eugene or do you go by Gene there? Over.
Go by Eugene. Over.
Ah, you go by the whole name, huh? Well, good for you. Good for you. Sounds like you're getting a chance there, and hopefully one day you'll get into this hobby that your grandpa's been doing for a long time.
I've been doing airplanes. This time he got a pretty big one. The first time he flew it in a tree, but he's good with the drones, and I think he's going to get gooder with the larger kind of airplane, but luckily it wasn't a real airplane he flew into the tree. It costs a lot more.
Yeah, they do. But, well, you know, drones are a thing to do, and then also ham radio is a good thing to do, and you learn a lot of things about drones when you're being a ham radio operator, because you learn to, we've got a lot of guys that are ham radio operators that operate drones, so, you know, they're out there, so you can have fun with both.
Yeah, I have a dog named Lucky. He's a very, very much a joy. The reason why I want to be an airline pilot is because whenever I grow up, I'm going to learn from the airline pilot, since I'm going to be flying a jet engine. I don't know if it's going to be easy, but I'm going to try to learn how to fly one of those little Cessna 150s. That'll probably be my main hobby, but I'll try ham radio and see how it goes, too.
Some of them work together, Eugene. Well, that's good. Sounds like you've got your plans made for you there. And I'm sure Grandpa there will be glad to encourage you along the way there. Over.
Thank you for talking to me. I'm going to hand back to my grandpa. Over.
Okay, Eugene. Nice to talk with you these days with W2T. Go ahead.
KF4YKX back. No, I was I know one of the guys that does a lot of remote control is David Watson, DJW, is that correct?
Yep, he flies those things. In fact, I don't know whether he's out going today. I don't know whether he got out, but he's been getting out quite regular since he works at home. He gets chances to go out and fly, and he's out there on a regular basis, so him and several other guys in the area, Steve, you haven't met him. He's a relatively newer ham, but he's very much into the remote control airplanes and the drones and things like that.
That one. Eugene got fascinated with gliders and the different designs and stuff like that, and I bought a very basic, and it's one that has a propeller kind of on top behind the wings, and it has three or four different levels, and the very first time we took off, had it set on the lowest level, which means you couldn't turn as sharp, and you know, your controls would only limit you to certain things. And I got basically the turn that I was making went around the backside of some trees out of where we could see it. And the next thing you know, you heard it caught up in the trees. But, and it's interesting because we couldn't see it. We could hear the engine as it would go through a certain buzz as the battery went down. So about two storms later, we found it and have a little repair to do on it. But no, I think I'm going to take it out to one of the landing fields, and I'm going to talk with David about it.
Yeah, there's one up not far from where he lives. I know he goes to, because the other day Steve both were headed up there to fly. And also I know there's one over there in his area, and a lot of those guys get out there and do a bunch of that. And my one adventure with a radio controlled airplane, it lasted for one flight, and I did so much damage to it wasn't even funny. So that's what happens sometimes, you know. And once I wrecked that one, I never went and bought another one. It just seemed to be better for me if I just stayed away from them, you know.
And I agree. If this one had come down with everything cracked in five pieces, I probably wouldn't. But there was some minimal damage to one of the elevators, one of the ailerons, and stuff like that. But looking at a lot of the stuff on the internet and from the people who make it, there were repair parts and stuff like that, so we're going to try to do that. But I think the next time I take it, I'm going to take it to a place where it is built to do that. And I know there is a club, and I think that's the one that David's part of. May I ask a question about David, though? There used to be a Bobby Watson down in Clinton. Do you know if he is related at all?
Not as far as I know. His dad and mom used to live right there in Greer, and they were both hams, too. What was his dad's name? I can't. My mind's gone blank at it. His dad passed away a number of years ago, but he used to be right there in in the Greer area, too. So I don't remember, but no, I don't think Bobby Watson, I don't think he's related to him in any way, you know.
To Bobby Watson's granddaughter, who is one of the attendings at the clinic that I work at, and she saw the truck and saw the call sign and stuff like that, and she started talking, and she said that he had a son, and I think even a grandson, that got interested in it, and that she didn't, but so I didn't know whether there was any relation, and I have not put that together. But what I was thinking the other day when I was looking at the airplane, I went, I wonder. But anyway, that's good. I'm glad there are several Watsons around. Anyway, I will talk with you later, but I really did enjoy talking with you. I'm glad you came back. W4, is it UT?
It's Whiskey Uniform 2 Tango. Or as a lot of the guys kid me, I'm wound up too tight.
Uniform 2 Tango, KF4YKX. I hope you have a good day and enjoy all the music.
All right, Gary, well, you have a good one. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a while, and I'm glad to hear you and know that you're still around and still kicking at things. So you take it easy and have a good one. We'll catch you later. I think I'm going to get up there and go get lay stuff out and put that steak in the air fryer. And in about 20 minutes, I'll have me a nice New York strip steak that's cooked just right. Talk to you later. Have a good one. KF4YKX, W2T, 73's, Gary.
73's, KF4YKX.